Tonight, we continue our missing series by putting a spotlight on the small town of Shelby, North Carolina. In February of 2000, 9-year-old Aisha Degree walked out of her home in the middle of the night, and she disappeared. In a neighboring county 18 months later, Aisha's backpack was found in a pair of trash bags, but to this day, no suspect has ever been named in her case and disappearance. Correspondent Marky Martin traveled to North Carolina this week to talk with family and also investigators, and she joins us live tonight from the Charlotte FBI field office. Marky.
Good evening, Marnie. On Valentine's Day, it'll be 22 years since Aisha Degree went missing, and her disappearance really rocked that community, really rocked this part of North Carolina. So many to this day still call her Shelby's sweetheart. But so many questions surrounding the case are so haunting. Why would a 9-year-old child pack her backpack and leave home on her own? Was she being groomed, or was this a crime of opportunity? Those closest to the case still think somebody in this area holds all the answers.
Will I know her? Yeah. These eyes don't show.
Nestled in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
We're a down-home southern community.
40 miles west of Charlotte, you'll find Shelby, North Carolina, population 20,000. It's affectionately known as the City of Pleasant Living. But the first face to greet you rolling into town is a haunting reminder of a chapter that's never fully closed.
I wouldn't wish this on nobody, not even my worst enemy. This is worse than death.
Aquila and Harold Degree are preparing for the 22nd Valentine's Day without their daughter, Aisha. In the early hours of February 14th, 2000, the 9-year-old packed her book bag, snuck out of the house, and disappeared into the night, all while her family slept.
It had rained because of the storm, and then it was ice cold, about like it is today, and she didn't even have a coat.
When alarm clocks went off to wake Aisha and her brother O'Brien for school, Aquila threw open the door, turned on the lights, and immediately felt something wasn't right.
I called his name and he jumped up. And then instead of just going out, it was like, look. And when I looked across it from his bed to her bed, the cover was pulled back and she wasn't in the bed. When I looked in their closet, she wasn't in their closet.
Chief Derwin Briscoe was one of the police officers dispatched within minutes.
I remember getting a call early in the morning for us to, for our team to come out, and that we had a missing person.
When he walked up to the home, Briscoe's stomach dropped. Not only did he know the Degrees, he was lifelong friends with Aisha's parents.
So she would have walked to the end of this street and then turned.
So we don't know particularly if she walked to the end of this street or she could have walked to, there's another street at the corner of the house. But either way, if she'd have came to this, she would have went to the left, which will take you to Highway 18.
22 years later, the big question still remains. Why would a 9-year-old child who was quiet, scared of dogs, and a lover of school and sports leave home alone? Mom's only guess is a school basketball game that hadn't gone well that weekend.
She was still upset about the game. She didn't want to face the teammates.
Not only had the team lost, but Aisha fouled out. Aquila says it bothered her daughter for the rest of the weekend.
Was she the type of child to where if she got in trouble or she thought she disappointed you or anybody else, would she threaten to leave home or I'm going to pack a backpack and never?
Never. This has never happened. There was never no signs of that. Because like I said, we were thick as thieves, if they can say.
The year after her disappearance, Aisha's backpack was found buried within two trash bags. Inside, a Dr. Seuss library book from her school and a New Kids on the Block t-shirt. Neither were hers. Aquila telling News Nation her basketball uniform was also inside.
Now that's the best, that's the whole team.
Information never before released by law enforcement. The days have turned into weeks, weeks into months, and the months into 22 years.
We're one phone call away from solving this case.
Jim Granozio is a special agent working Aisha's case with the FBI's Child Abduction Rapid Deployment Team. The team wasn't created until 2006, and the first day is critical for missing children.
50% are dead within the first hour of them going missing. 75% are dead within 3 hours. 89% are dead within 24 hours.
But despite decades of the unknown.
And there are some days I don't talk. I don't do anything.
Aquila still believes her daughter is out there.
And she'd be 31
She will be 31 August the 5th this year. It's too much to try to imagine. What all we done lost, Adam, but... too much.
Do you imagine what you would say to her, to Aisha, if one day you got to bring her home, what that conversation might be like?
Welcome home. Welcome home. It's been a long time coming, but I just want to welcome home. Welcome you home to your family. That would be all the conversation I need to have. Because for me, the rest of the conversation will be between Harold, Aquila, and Aisha. But I just want to be at the point to say welcome. Welcome home.
And when I was sitting across from Mrs. DeGree, I said, if you could sum up what your family has endured for the past 22 years, what would that word be? And Marnie, she said, chaos. She said, without answers, you can't grieve. You can't even move on. You're just stuck in this place of limbo. And I do also want to make it clear that law enforcement has made it very clear this week and throughout the years. The parents have been cleared. Anybody that Aisha would have had frequent or daily interaction with, teachers, other family members, coaches, teammates, everybody that they know of has been cleared in this case. Marnie.
And just left to wonder, Markie, tell me more about the evidence in this case, not just early on, that year after she disappeared, but in the years following, what they have found.
So that's really one of the biggest frustrating parts of this case is the evidence that they are still looking back on and working with is the evidence that was pretty much found early on in the case. You have that book bag with those items inside. That along with a men's pair of pants that was found in that same area, sent to forensics. Nothing came back from that the very next day. Hair ribbons and a pencil that the mom says were Aisha's were found in a barn nearby, but law enforcement says they could never actually verify those did belong to her. And then lastly, Marnie, also some tipsters later on said they thought maybe they had seen her getting into a green car. That car never panned out either, and all other potential suspects never panned out either.
Markie, what about a digital trail? Any concern that someone may have lured her away online or otherwise?
So that was one of my biggest questions to law enforcement and to the mom is, do you think she was being groomed? And law enforcement really can't answer that question. However, they said, you know, there's no evidence, but it's not impossible. The interesting thing is we're also talking about 2000. There weren't a lot of people meeting people online, certainly not on social media. And interestingly, the mom refused to buy a computer. The house didn't have a computer in it because that was her worst fear. She said every time you turned on the news, somebody was luring a child away from the home. So they didn't even have a computer inside. But to this day, that question can't be answered. Marnie.
And the mom doing her best to protect her child from exactly what happened. Markie Martin, we appreciate that. Thank you tonight for the report. You know,